about how, like, you go through a lot of things in life, and no matter what, you just have to keep going, and you just, like, can't give up, because giving up's not good. And, yeah, and that song means a lot to me, because whenever I was really younger, I grew up in an abusive household, so whenever I heard it, it kind of became my new favorite song. Because no matter what happened, I didn't give up, because if I knew I gave up, I would be letting myself down and everyone around me down. So I just thought it was an appropriate song to play. Yeah.
Love is all too hard to hold.
take a breath and let it go out.
That was beautiful. Did you win? She should have won if there was a winner. I think I already did. Yeah, I did. It should be on. It's okay. Before we get into the Word, I just want to take a few moments to pray, and then we'll open the Bibles together. So, Father God, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for the various ministries that that Harmony supports and is sending out. God, you are amazing, and your heart is so big. And Father, I pray that you would just bless. Bless the work that's being done in China, Lord. Bless this orphanage. Father, I pray for increase. I pray for increase in every way. And Lord, I pray for these oils and soaps that represent really your heart for these women who have experienced so much pain. Lord, I pray that your heart would be felt. And God, that your healing power would be unleashed through your hands and feet that are being represented in Ottawa through Rebecca and the team that she's a part of. Lord, bless them. And Father, I pray that you've blessed the Word this morning. God, I pray that your truth would be spoken. And God, that you would ultimately speak. Father, thank you for your presence. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we've been kind of following along in a series, a book series called The Jesus Mission. And this Jesus Mission book has given us kind of four main missions that Jesus gives to his people. And the fourth mission is to impact the lives of unbelievers. And there's many ways that we can do that. And if you read in that book, there are various things that the author outlines. I want to talk about one particular area that I'm pretty passionate about. It's something that I really want to dedicate my life to. And it's sharing the gospel with unbelievers. It's leading people to Jesus. And, you know, for some, I talked a couple months ago about how there's this perception that's existed in the church for a while that the task of leading or preaching the gospel to people, the task of leading people to Christ, well, that's the missionary or that's the evangelist or that's the pastor. That's not my job as a construction worker or as a teacher or whatever career, whether it's a mom or whatever it is, that's not necessarily my calling. That's not what God is asking me to do. And I, a couple of months ago, I tried the best that I could to show from Scripture that God has called every one of us to be missionaries, that He has called all of us to be proclaimers of the gospel, to be preachers, every single one of us. And the Great Commission, right before Jesus ascends to heaven, He says, go into the world and make disciples. And that task was for, yes, His disciples, but it was for them to go and share that with their disciples, and then for them to go and share that with their disciples. And it's a task for all of us. And to be a disciple maker is to be a proclaimer of Jesus. In order for someone to become a disciple, they need to hear about Jesus. And they need to be saved. So we need to have the task or the commission or the command of God in our hearts, every one of us, to be missionaries, called where we're at to be proclaimers of Jesus and to be telling people about the gospel. But here's the thing. What is the gospel and how do I do it? How do I share the gospel with those that are around me? How do I share the gospel with my neighbors? How do I share the gospel with my coworkers? How do I share this gospel? Well, I want to be really practical this morning, but I also want to share, to me, what I believe the essence and the heart of the gospel is. Because here's the thing. If we've been tasked with this incredible privilege and responsibility to bring the gospel to unbelievers, I think we need to know what the gospel is. Because if we don't know what the gospel is, when we try to lead people to Christ and share that gospel with them, well, then we might not be, if we don't know what it is, we may not be saying the things that are actually going to lead them into the arms of Jesus. And here's the thing. I want to share with you three things that I believe make up the gospel. I'm going to share these three things. And if you can do these three things, you can share the gospel and you can lead somebody to Christ. And the reason that I think this is so important for us as a church is because I believe that there are people who are very sincere and genuine and they want to see people come to know Christ. But what they're doing in their trying to lead people to Christ is they're missing elements of the gospel. And that can really ultimately have a great impact. It can, and I want to share through illustration how I believe that to be so. But the first thing is this. I believe the first element of the gospel is sin. And here's the funny thing is people don't like to talk to other people about their sin because it's uncomfortable. And what's happened is we have really, in a sense, the church, and in order to be more accommodating, to be less intimidating, we try not to talk about sin or their sin, and we just want to talk about Jesus. Because Jesus is so good, right? I mean, Jesus, He's amazing, so it's great to talk about Jesus. But here's the thing. If people don't understand their sin, Jesus isn't that great of news. If people don't understand their sin, Jesus isn't that good news. And here's the reason why. If you go to somebody on the street, and I've seen people do this, and their intentions are all well and good, saying to somebody, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you so much. And saying that to a stranger is true, but ultimately for somebody who doesn't really know Jesus or doesn't really understand their sin, who cares? Like, that's great that Jesus loves me. Some guy who lived 2,000 years ago, who I think I've seen, he's on the cross in Catholic churches, he loves me. That's great. It doesn't mean much for those people. And Eric, you should be able to follow with me in this, because I shared a similar message with a bunch of youth. But here's the thing, guys. People need to understand their sin. And we need to be bold. We need to be courageous in explaining to people their sin. Because if they don't understand their sin, they will not see Jesus as good news. Here, let me use an illustration. If you were to come to somebody and you were to say, here, I have this cure for you. This cure is so great. It's amazing. Please, just take this cure. It's awesome. It's going to help you. It's going to better your life. It's going to make things good. Like, just trust me. Take this cure. I sold everything I had for this cure. I sold my house. I sold my car. I emptied my pension. All the funds that I'd saved for my child's education. I sold it all for this cure for you. Take it. And I have this cure in my hands, and I'm like, oh, you sold everything for this cure for me? Thanks. I feel fine. I don't think I have anything. But appreciate you emptying your child's education fund for me. I mean, it's almost strange. Like, they're going to think you're, like, crazy. Like, he's lost his marbles. But if you approach them and you say to them, listen, you have a disease. It's called, I'm just going to make it up, cinemosis. You have a disease called cinemosis. I see 10 clear symptoms on your flesh. You have maybe 3 days to live. And you explain to them the symptoms and you walk through them the things that they have. That, wait, I have that. I've experienced that. Wait, what you're telling me, I have 3 days to live? And you walk them through some of the symptoms that they've experienced that they didn't realize, but now they know, I have this disease and I'm going to die in 3 days. I need help. Somebody, what do I need to do? Where do I go? I need a cure. And you say, yeah, but here's the thing. I sold everything I had. I gave up all that I could. Every ounce of financial ability that I had, I poured it out and I bought for you the cure. Here, take it. It's free, please. It's for you. How do you think they were going to receive it? They're going to be like, oh my goodness, thank you. Thank you for giving me the cure. You gave everything. Everything that you had for me, and it's free. Thank you so much. They're going to receive the cure with gladness. But what happens is we try to tell people, we try to lead people to Christ without wanting to talk about their sin. And honestly, it does injustice to the goodness of God for them. And another example, an illustration I want to use to highlight this point. Someone gets on a plane. They're on the plane, and as the plane is taking off, somebody says to them, here, put on this parachute. And it's a little bulky. It's going to make your flight a little uncomfortable, but put it on. It's so good. It's going to, you know, it's actually going to improve your flight. Everything's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. Put on this parachute. It's wonderful. It's so good. You're going to have more joy. You're going to have just, it's going to be a better flight because of this parachute. Put it on. And the person's like, that's awesome. Like, I'm going to do that. Like, this guy just told me about how great everything's going to be when I wear this parachute. So he puts on the parachute and he's sitting in his seat and he's kind of jacked forward a little bit. And it's a little bit uncomfortable and his back's starting to hurt. And he's like, I don't know if this person was right. And then all of a sudden people are like, he sees that people are looking at him and laughing at him because he's the only one wearing a parachute in this plane. Now people are making fun of him, like there's laughter breaking out, and he's like, they're laughing at me. I feel so stupid right now. And then he's kind of in the uncomfortable nature of it. He hits the flight attendant, and the flight attendant spills a drink on him, and now he's like angry. This has not improved my flight. This is, and he takes it off and he throws it into the trash, and he's like, what a dumb thing. When we try to share Jesus with people, without explaining them the disease or the sickness, and we just try to sell them all the good, everything the good, the joy and the peace, and those things are true. But if we're not real with them, and all they think is that their life is going to get better, at some point, hardship is going to strike, and then they're just going to toss it to the side and say it was a lie. But here's the second point. That person is on the flight, and the person steps up to him, and he says, listen, take this parachute. Put it on. This plane is going down. I know that when we took off, I heard the engine. It's going to shut down. It's going to drop. The plane is going to crash to the ground. Everyone on this plane is going to die. But if you wear this parachute, it will save you. How do you think that person is going to wear the parachute now? They're going to hold on to it, and they're going to have a smile on their face. They don't care about the minor discomforts or the fact that people are laughing at him. They're going to have joy because their life has been saved because of this parachute. Friends, trying to tell people about Jesus without them understanding their sin, it's not the gospel. And ultimately, it will lead people astray. And even down the road, they will abandon what the faith that they thought they had. So sin is important. And here's the thing, too. This great verse that many of us have memorized. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will have everlasting life. That powerful verse. There is a clear implied understanding that the verse, that people that are reading that verse would understand their sin. Why did God send His Son? Because of sin. Sin had created a barrier. Sin had created a separation. Someone needed to come and save us from our sin. Telling people John 3:16, who have no idea or no understanding of the fact that they have a disease, a sickness that is leading them to a place of destruction, well, honestly, they're not going to make very much sense of it. It's going to be not good news. But if we can take people on a journey of helping them graciously, compassionately, gently sharing with them the sickness that they have, here's what's going to happen. They're going to be awakened to a need. And honestly, guys, this is not challenging. I mean, you say like, okay, I'm supposed to tell people about their sin. Whoa, okay? That's not going to go so well with my coworkers. Hey, let me talk to you about your sin. I mean, it is intimidating. But honestly, for me, like, I have been at this for a while, and I have a lot, as much as I can, as much as God allows me at my workplaces, in the gym that I work out, where in the grocery stores, I am looking for opportunities to reveal to people the good news of Jesus, and that requires of me to talk about sin. And I'm going to just give you a real practical 101 how I do this. And for me, it's very simple, and I hope that you can take this, and if you want to use it, please do. But friends, a way that I've done this in the past, and I still do this today, is when you talk to people, I will say something like this. I'll say, like, if there was a heaven, do you think that you'd get in? You know, what I like to do is I use like the hypothetical situation, hypothetical stuff. Like, if there was a heaven, I know there is. But if you say to somebody, there is a heaven, are you going to get in? That they can become defensive to that. I don't believe in heaven. You know, whatever, get out of my face with that. But I like to use hypotheticals because then it becomes almost a little bit of a game. If there was a heaven, do you think you'd get in? And then people will say, maybe not. Well, if there was a way that you could know, if there was a test that you could take that could gauge whether or not you'd get in or not, do you think you'd pass the test? And most people would be like, I don't know, maybe. Would you want to try to take the test just to see, you know, hypothetically speaking here, if there was a test that existed that you could take in order to see if you would be good enough to get into heaven, do you think you'd pass? And then people are like, okay, well, let me see if I can pass this test. And then you start introducing to them the law, 10 Commandments. And I've done this so many times, and it is amazing what happens. Because here's the thing, people. Most people think they're good. Most people think they're good. Most people think that, you know, God, if there was a heaven, they'd probably get in because I'm a good person. Like, I haven't killed anybody. I haven't neglected. I sometimes give to the homeless. You know, like, most people think they're good. So now you're talking to them and you're saying, listen, okay, so let's go through a little bit of a test to see if you get into heaven. A test that God has established for us. Ever lied before? Maybe. Yeah. Ever stolen anything insignificant of value? Well, maybe, yeah. Have you ever taken God's name? Used it just flippantly, like almost like a curse word? Well, yeah. Actually, I did that as I stubbed my toe right over a couple minutes ago. Okay, so now you're lying, you're a liar, you're a thief, you're a blasphemer. It's called blasphemy. How about this one? Have you ever murdered anybody? Most people are like, well, I got that one. I ain't never done that. Well, actually, in Matthew chapter 5, it says that if you've been angry at someone without a just and holy reason, it's in God's eyes considered murder. And I've said this before, I've joked this before, and I've murdered a lot of people driving. And I'm sure you have too. And it's true. The grim reality, though, that is that in God's eyes, we are all murderers because we have been angry at people without a good reason. So now, what about this one? Have you ever committed adultery? People are like, oh, well, yeah, I got that one. I haven't slept with anybody's, you know, husband or wife. I'm good with that one. And then you go, well, actually, Jesus said that if you looked at someone with lust, if you desired them for yourself, no, that's in God's eyes the same as committing adultery. So now all of a sudden, they're standing before you, once thinking they're good. Now, in God's eyes, they are a murderer, a thief, a liar, a blasphemer, and an adulterer. And that's just five. We can keep going. Guess what? You're going to be guilty of them all. And honestly, as I'm sharing this with people, I'm putting myself right with them. I'm not blaming, I'm not accusing, I'm saying, listen, I am with you in this. I am a liar. I have stolen things. I am guilty, just like you. And I'm going to stand before a God, a holy, just God, and I am going to be guilty. And see, what's happened here is you started in the sense like a hypothetical, you know, kind of, in a sense, a fun game. But truth is truth. And as you share this truth, it is going to strike into their heart. And I've seen people that I've had conversations with like this, and they're just like, yeah, I don't believe in God, whatever. And then I share with them their sin, and all of a sudden it's like they saw a ghost. What? Like, I don't think I'd get in. I don't think I'd get in if that was the case. But then this is said, okay? I'm going to give you a response that almost everyone will give you once you've kind of revealed to them a little bit of their sickness. Okay, so you've shared with them a little bit of the sickness that they have, the disease that they have, that they're going to stand before an almighty God and they're going to be guilty. But then you're going to be like, so you've taken only half of the test, you're guilty of every single one, you're going to stand before God. Would you get in? Almost everyone I have talked to has said this, yeah. I think I will. Because what? Because why? God is love. God is forgiving. God is good. So God, you know, I know I haven't passed the test. I actually failed miserably. But God is good and God is gracious. And He's, you know, like people kind of know that. So they're kind of like, yeah, like God's going to let me in, right? And let me tell you, friends, that is the perfect statement for them to say because it sets them up perfectly. And the reason that I say that is this, is when people say that, I say, you know what, you're absolutely right. God is good. God is loving. But let me just say this, and I'm encouraging you, if you're in conversations, please bring this up because it's important. If you were to stand before a judge, if someone was to stand before a judge and they were to have murdered 20 women and 100 children, they are a serial killer. They have destroyed hundreds of families' lives. And they're standing before a judge. And they're like, Judge, I know you. I know you're good. You're a great judge. You're a loving judge. And because of that, you're going to let me go, right? The judge is going to look at him and be like, yeah, you're right. I am good. I am loving. But because I am good, because I am loving, I need to lay the gavel down and you need to be punished for the crimes that you have committed. You think a good judge is going to let a serial killer walk away because the serial killer feels bad? You know, I feel really bad about those things. Maybe even he's genuine. Oh, I really feel guilty. I shouldn't have done those things. Is he just going to let it go back into society? No. He's going to get the gavel slammed and he's going to go into prison. Punishment needs to happen. So that great and good God is a problem for sinners. For someone who is guilty, it is a major problem. See now, friends, here's what's happened. You've talked about sin. You've talked about the sickness, and now you've kind of described a little bit about the goodness of God and how that's a problem. Because a good God demands justice for evil. So now all of a sudden, God and Jesus who was insignificant to them, some historical figure thousands of years ago who had no significance for their life now, all of a sudden, he becomes very significant. And this is where you share the second element of the gospel. You talk about Jesus. Jesus in John 10:10 said, "The enemy comes, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life, and life abundantly." Jesus' mission was to rescue us and give us life. So you've talked about sin, you've talked about the sickness. Now you get to talk about the best part, the cure. The cure. You get to talk about the parachute, the Savior. And people are ready for it. They're hungry for it. And you talk about this Savior, and guys, you know Jesus. You know Him. I know this church. Many of you, I would say most of you, have given your heart to Christ. You know what He's done for you. And if you know Christ and what He's done for you, I think that you could probably tell somebody else about Him. But here's the thing, and I want to encourage you in this. When you're talking about Jesus, as you're sharing the gospel with them, you've talked about sin, now you get to talk about Jesus. When you're talking about Jesus, I want to say, encourage you to talk about two things. And I think this is important. Talk about He came on a rescue mission, absolutely. But also how He wore your sin. We know that from Scripture. So let me just read that. I had a bookmark here, but I can't find it in my Bible. Here it is. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "God made Him who had no sin to be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God." So Jesus came on a rescue mission for us. You know this, but I'm just encouraging you to speak about these things to those who don't know. And say, so He came on a rescue mission for you. He knew that there was sin in your life, that you're going to be guilty before God one day, but He came to rescue you. And He said to God, before He was even born, I believe, in the pre-existing Christ, He said to God, "I'm going to come to earth, and I want to take on the sins of all mankind." So the sin that you and I committed, He wanted to take it on Himself as though He had committed Himself. He became sin for us. So He took it on Himself as though He wore it Himself. And then He went to the cross, to Calvary, and He bore the punishment that you deserve for that sin. We know this, right? We know this story so good, so well. But I'm encouraging you to try to share this with those. Share with them the fact that Christ wore their sin and He went to the cross and He took the punishment that they deserved, that I deserved. Absorbed every ounce of anger and wrath for God, of God against that sin upon Himself. And He did it because He loved you. He did it because He wanted to restore for you relationship with the Father. Right? So we're sharing with this with people, how Christ took on our sin and took the punishment that we deserved, and then when He died, the sin and the punishment and the death that we deserved, it died with Him. And then He rose again. And this is where the third element comes. The third element of faith. And this one is a little bit, I think some people can get crossed up with this. Because we've talked about sin, we've talked about Jesus, but there is a third element for someone to receive Christ, and it's faith. See, people this is tempting to say, you know what? And if you believe that to be true, you will be saved. Which is true. But most people won't completely understand, okay, wait, so I just need to believe that story to be true? So if I believe that Jesus died for me, and I believe that He took my sin upon Himself, and He took my punishment, and he rose again, then I can be saved? I just got to believe it to be true? Because it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will have everlasting life. Right? That is the gospel. But the word belief here, we need to unpack that for people. Because I think it is deceptive to just say to somebody, all you need to do is just to believe it. But the understanding of belief in Scripture in John 3:16 is that there is some action behind that belief. That belief requires two things. Well, first, I want to say faith requires two things. Belief and submission. And here's, I want to take a few moments to unpack this. Because in James 2:19, there is a pretty powerful passage. It speaks about belief in God. Somebody want to read that? I'm just going to put up your hand if you have it and you want to read that. Okay, Alton? James 2:19? James 2:19, somebody have James 2:19? Debbie? Okay, so belief in and of itself isn't going to save anybody. Because even demons believe in God. And if you actually look in Scripture in the New Testament, you know what's interesting? The greatest theologians in the New Testament were often demons. Because they knew who God was. They knew who He was. So belief in and of itself isn't going to save anyone. And let me tell you this, friends. I know people who believe in Jesus, who believe that He's died for their sin. And they have convinced themselves that they're a Christian because they believe that to be true. But they're also drunks. And they're drug addicts. And they're adulterers. And they just live whatever way that they want to live. As long as I believe that Jesus has saved me from my sin, I'm good, right? I'm here to say that that's wrong. That's wrong theology. It's bad theology. Because genuine faith, as James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead. If there is no works behind your faith in your belief, you're not saved. And here, that is a harsh, that sounds like a harsh word, but it's not. And I want to, this is why I say no. It's actually wonderful. Because here's the thing. Salvation, faith for a person, is the Holy Spirit's work. In John 16, it says that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So you're sharing the gospel with somebody. And you're sharing the magnitude of their sin and the need for Jesus and how wonderful Jesus is and how He's come to rescue them. And the requirement for them is that they would believe. And that belief would invoke in them a lifestyle of submission. And to say that, God, you are Lord of my life. Genuine faith is that God is not only Savior, but He is also Lord. Genuine faith is that God is not just Savior, but He is also Lord. And that's good news. Because I want the guy who knows everything steering my ship. I want the God who is so good and has every good intention for me planned. I want Him in control of my life. I don't want to be the one making the decisions. I don't want to be the one that's trying to make, you know, figure things out and just, I think this is the right way to go. I'm good, God, okay? Let's go. Because I'm going to end up in bad places. But God, He's good, and He loves me, and He only gives good gifts to His kids. I want that guy steering my ship. I want to give Him reins of my life. And here's the thing, too. Romans verses 10, one of my favorite passages in all Scripture. Romans chapter 10, popular passage, but it says this. that if you confess with your mouth, 10 verses 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Genuine faith, friends, is that Jesus is Lord and He's Savior. And that's good news. That's not bad news. That's wonderful news. That is wonderful news. But I want to say this too. Okay, so we have been given this task by God to go into the world and preach the gospel, to make disciples. That we are called to be missionaries in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our communities. We are called to share the message of Jesus with those who have not heard. This is all of our calls. So we have this task given to us. And I want to say this, take it seriously. Because people are dying. People are dying and perishing, and they don't know Jesus. And I hope that there is an urgency that you feel in your heart towards sharing the gospel with those around you. And I'm not about just shoving it in people's faces, because it's my responsibility to tell people about Jesus, so I'm just going to shove it down their throat. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you're praying, you're asking God, Lord, open doors for me. God, I know these coworkers. I know the people that I work with every single day. They don't know you. Help me. Give me opportunities. Open doors for me, Jesus. And you're seeking, and you're praying, and you're earnestly desiring for God to give you those open doors, that the Spirit would lead you and allow you to open in conversation with people. But you better, I hope that there is an urgency for you and that there's a prayer in your heart for those around you, in your communities, in your neighborhoods. Because friends, life is but a vapor. And if you pass by an opportunity thinking, I'm going to get another one, you don't know if you will. And you will miss out on the responsibility and the privilege of sharing with them what could absolutely change the trajectory of their life. But again, I want to highlight this point because it's important and it's something that I think we all need to really, truly hold in our hearts. That the gospel, which I believe is these three things, it is sin, it is Jesus, it is faith. You share those three things with people, you are sharing the gospel with them. But I want to say this, please. You will save no one. It is not your job to save a soul. It's not your job. That's God's business. And it says in John 16 very clearly that the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It is the Holy Spirit that is resting on the message that you carry, that when you share with somebody, the Holy Spirit then will sink and you will start to work. And it's Him who's going to open the eyes of somebody. It's not you. You have a message, but you're not the one who's going to save somebody. And we need to get rid of this thinking that I need to do this because these person, if they don't hear from me, then they're not going to be. God is on scene. He's at work, and He is giving you an incredible privilege to participate with Him in His work. But we are a simple messenger. We're a messenger that says, victory has been won. And it's interesting, when I was working on my MA, and I was working towards a thesis, and it was on preaching and proclamation. And when you look in Scripture and you see this word preach or proclaim, there was actually, in ancient history, there was this idea that a preacher or a proclaimer was someone who would say he would hear the news of victory in battle. So like a Rome would go out to battle and he would hear news of victory, and they would send a messenger into the city and say, listen, the victory has been won, the battle has been won, go and tell the people. Go and tell the people, and the people in the city, they're scared because people are coming for them and their lives and their city. So there's fear in their heart, and they don't know what's happening on the battlefield. They're just anticipating, nervously waiting, and then they send the messenger, and he comes in, and he says, the victory has been won. The battle has been won. That is such an incredible privilege. How awesome would it be to be that person that gets given the task, you're the one. Go and tell them the battle's been won. You're safe. Your families are safe. How do you think that person's going to approach? They're going to run and they're going to be excited and they're going to be overjoyed and they're going to be like, this is amazing. I have been given this task. Were they the ones that saved anyone? No. But friends, they had the awesome privilege of participating. So friends, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Because leading someone to Jesus, when you get to share with them and open up for them the beauty of what Christ has done, and you see the Spirit of God on that message go and open up and illuminate their eyes and their ears, and they finally, they're like, I'm a sinner, but I know what Jesus has done for me. He saved me. That is the most beautiful thing in the world. And it's beautifully simple. It's not complicated. Talk to them about their sin. Talk about Jesus. Talk about the fact that all they need to do is make Him captain of their ship and believe what He did to be true. That is not complicated. It's beautifully simple. And it will change a life forever. It will transform communities, families, countries. It will transform. The power of the gospel. The gospel is what transforms. The message of Jesus is what can take a heart that is sick and diseased and make it just come to life. Friends, you know people. I know that you know people around you who don't know Jesus. And maybe you've been thinking about, man, I want to share with them the gospel, but you're feeling a little bit intimidated or maybe nervous or not really confident. Pray that the Holy Spirit would come upon you and give you boldness. Pray that the Holy Spirit would give you courage. Because friends, here's the reality. I know I stand up here as a preacher and someone who's been to Bible school, but I get nervous every time I talk to somebody about Jesus. I still get those butterflies. I'm not some bold and courageous. No, I'm a shy guy. I get nervous talking to people about their sin. But I pray that the Holy Spirit would light up my heart and give me the courage to step into these conversations that need to happen. They need to happen. Because in order for people to be saved, they need to hear the gospel. Romans 10 is very clear. How are they to be saved if they haven't heard? And how are they to hear if there is no preachers? If there's no one preaching the gospel, how are they supposed to hear? How are supposed to people get saved? We need to be bold. We need to be praying bold prayers, and we need to be seeking earnestly conversations. We need to be intentionally looking for people and opportunities to share the gospel. And I hope that you're inspired this morning to leave feeling confident that, you know what? I can talk to people about sin. I can talk to people about Jesus. I can say to them that it requires faith. I can do that. I hope that you're inspired to say that you can do that because you know it. You're saved. You have it. Don't be afraid. Step out and be bold. And I just want to close with a challenge for all of Harmony Church. We were challenged last week by Rebecca to be very intentional in our prayer life, to be setting goals in our prayer life, to establish some goals so that we can move forward. Well, I want us as a church to establish some goals for individuals that you know need to know Jesus. I want you to say that I'm going to be seeking every opportunity that I can to preach the gospel to them. I want to share it with them, and I'm going to do what it takes. I'm going to say, you know what, let's go for coffee sometime. I'd like to talk to you, share with you my story. But set some people in your radar and establish them, write their names down, and begin to pray for them. Begin to pray for opportunities that God would raise up for you. Establish some goals. Establish some individuals that God has put in your circle. Because God, here's the reality. Pastor Bruce, me, we can't reach into all the circles that you guys have, that you walk in. You need to be the ones. You need to be the ones. Rise up, church. Rise up, church, with the gospel, the beautiful message of Jesus on your lips, and step into conversations with the purpose and hope that Christ will illuminate their heart and bring them to salvation. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the fact that you have given us an incredible responsibility, a privilege to share the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you would stir in our hearts those people. I believe even now there are people that you're putting in, there are people that you're raising up in hearts, bringing to mind, who don't know the gospel, who don't know that they have a sickness and a disease and that they need a Savior. I pray that you would challenge and inspire your people, that your Holy Spirit would bring people to mind, and that you would give us the boldness that we need to step out in faith, encourage, and start that conversation that needs to happen. Holy Spirit, inspire us, challenge us, drive us to be courageous and to be open, to share the beauty of the gospel, that we were once in sin, but you came on a rescue mission and you saved us. And now all it is that you require of us is that we would believe you and give our hearts and our life to you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Thank you for being so good. Amen.
Lord. Hymn number 303. The altar rail. Pastor Dan would be glad to pray with you, myself, or whoever. You know, even this morning, if you're under the sound of my voice, and all of a sudden something's been stirring in you, because as our brother talked about sin and about Jesus and about faith, the Spirit of the living God began to work in your heart, and you begin to think, you know, and something stirred up and said, you know what? I need to apply the message. I need to apply it. I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my personal Savior. I need to make Him Lord of my life. I need to bring Him in the inside, not just to be religious on the outside, but I need the message to become part of my life. If you'd like to pray to receive Jesus as your Savior, you're welcome to come to the front and pray. If you feel the need this morning, if you feel the stirring in your heart that God has raised you up as one who has been saved to share the gospel, but you're scared a little bit, as we often are, you say, I need to pray. I need this message to be driven home in my heart, then I invite you to come and pray at the front. Pray where you are as well, but we designate a place called the altar. The altar rail, the front of the church. This is the kind of style that we are, the old-fashioned. Pray and seek the Lord. Let's sing this, and then I'll give a benediction. Remind yourself as we sing. You can come and be prayed for, or come and seek the Lord here this morning. As the Spirit of God moves on us. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. People need the Lord, children. People need the Lord. Old people, young people, rich people, poor people, white people, black people, Chinese people. They need the Lord, people. Now may the grace of Him who gave us the message of Jesus, God Almighty, may the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself as a ransom for many, and may the Holy Spirit, who convicts men of sin unto salvation, bless you and keep you and be with you until we meet again. Amen. Let's sing that a couple of times.
Yeah, we're good.
We're good.